Welcome to this week's episode of Energy in Action. I'm your host, Stephanie. Here on Energy in Action, we talk all things MITO, and our goal is to be informative and entertaining, and in this week's episode, definitely enlightened. Today, I'm speaking with a young person who is the daughter of a MITO warrior. After learning of her dad's diagnosis, Emma reached out to MITO Action to see if she could help. She has now launched Another Helping, a cupcake business that combines her passions of baking and supporting others. Let me introduce you to Emma. You may have already heard of her via her dad, and he is known throughout social media as the Dadvocate. Emma, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to our audience, let everybody know a little bit about yourself, and we'll go from there.
Hi, I'm Emma. Like Stephanie said, I'm the founder of Another Helping, and I'm from Boise, Idaho.
Great. Emma, your dad was diagnosed with mitochondrial disease. That's right, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so tell me how you created Another Helping.
Well, it first started when, after he was diagnosed and I saw all the things that he was going through, and I was like, oh, wow, I bet there's a lot of other people out there who are going through something similar, and I wanted to help those people. And so I thought, okay, so why don't I put my two passions together, helping people and baking, and create Another Helping.
Okay, so what is Another Helping? I'm intrigued now that you said baking, so let everybody know what Another Helping is.
So Another Helping is my nonprofit organization where I bake cupcakes or people donate, and then I do. And after I bake them, I will give them to whoever ordered them, and in return, they'll donate money to help a family or a person with a mitochondrial disease.
So I'm going to order cupcakes, and I'm going to order 6 cupcakes. So what happens?
Okay, so you say you are going to order 6 cupcakes for yourself or to donate to somebody. Go to my website, which is mitoaction.org/anotherhelping, and you can make that order, and then it'll tell you the pickup spot, and you will pick up your cupcakes and in return give me money to help somebody with mitochondrial disease.
Okay, and what if I don't want to pick up the cupcakes? What do you do with the cupcakes that you have so lovingly baked?
So if you don't want to pick up the cupcakes, you can pick where you get them donated to. So you can pick if I choose where they go, or like a fire station or a police station. And then I will take them to that place and tell them, if you want me to, I can tell them that you made the donation, wanted these cupcakes to go here, or that you wanted me to make the cupcakes to them, or something like that.
Have you made a delivery to an unsuspecting place like a fire station or police department and said, hey, here's some cupcakes for you?
Yeah, so I've done the fire station, my dad's doctor's office, and my dad's therapy.
Wow, what has been the reaction of people getting these delicious desserts unsuspectingly?
Well, the fire station, they kind of didn't want to share them. And then other places were very grateful, and they were excited, and they wanted to know that if I had more that didn't have anywhere to go, to bring them to them.
Oh, excellent. Okay. So what flavor of cupcakes are you making?
So right now we have red velvet cupcakes with cream cheese frosting.
Oh, well, you could never go wrong with that combination. And are you making these all from scratch?
Yes.
Okay, Emma, you have to tell our audience how old you are, because that is amazing.
11.
You are 11 years old and you are baking cupcakes from scratch.
Yes.
So how old were you when you learned how to bake? And like, when did your mom turn, or your dad turn the kitchen over to you and say, you can go ahead and use electronics in an oven?
Well, I've been baking pretty much ever since I can remember, with my mom or dad helping me. But I started baking by myself when I was like 7 years old or something like that. But I just couldn't use the oven by myself, but I could make the actual batter and stuff like that.
Wow. So you are very good at reading recipes. And where did you find your cupcake and frosting recipe? Is this something you concocted or one that you found and really just like?
So my mom, she helped me. She loves to bake too. And Sprinkles, if you've ever heard of that, they're a cupcake business. And they make really good red velvet cupcakes as well. And I kind of wanted to do something like that, the way they decorate them. I just kind of liked how they make it. And so I used something, I tweaked the recipe a little bit, but I kept it pretty similar to what they used.
So when you make a batch of cupcakes, like, A, how long does it take you from start to finish, from mixing to baking to frosting?
Mixing and baking and frosting, it normally takes about an hour, and that's including cleanup. But if I'm just like, but if I have to make a ton, like the other, a few weeks ago, I had to make 36. And so I made them, and then I had to let them cool for like a half an hour, and then I had to frost them. And when I do bigger batches like that, it takes like 3 hours about. But when I'm doing small ones, like 6 or 12 or whatever, it only takes about an hour.
Wow, a small batch. That's funny, because I am a daughter of a baker. My dad owned a bakery.
Oh, that's cool.
We specialized more in donuts and things of that nature. We never had a cake decorator who could do anything halfway decent, so we didn't get to have that luxury. But I don't think I could today make cupcakes and do the whole shebang in an hour. I know I couldn't, because I suck at cleanup. I'm the worst at cleaning up. If I could just have like some cleanup help come behind me, that would be awesome. I have seen some of your cupcakes, and they look delightful. How did you learn how to do your decorating? Because I am not good at the whole frosting process. I can look at Pinterest all day long, and it is an epic fail all day long.
Well, my mom, she helped me with that. She loves to bake as well, and she has been for a lot longer than I have. So she kind of told me, okay, so take the cupcake, you plop the frosting on, then you fold it around. And I was just like, aren't piping bags quicker? And she said, yes, but when you do a piping bag, so on my cupcakes, I have like the green ribbon for my dough action. When you use a piping bag to make your frosting, you can't do a ribbon as well. And so it's just a cleaner finish when you use like a spatula or something to do the frosting.
Wow, a cleaner finish. Look at you. You're already using like expert terms. Do you like to watch any of the fun baking shows? Like, I love the baking show that comes out of Britain. That one cracks me up and I find very interesting. How about you?
Yes, I love to watch different other people bake, especially who are better than me, because then I'm just like, how do you do that?
How do you do that? Yeah, there's a bakery here. I'm in Minneapolis, and we have a bakery called The Thirsty Whale. And I don't know if you've seen it, but just over the last weekend, they just went viral on a cake they made for a three-year-old. She requested a Lion King cake, which sounds pretty three-year-old-y, right? But in her request, yeah, she said she wanted it to be where Mufasa dies. And so that way everybody would be too sad to eat the cake, and then she could have it all.
That's which is funny.
Very three-year-old, right? And the cake was just absolutely priceless. And it's now gone viral, and they have people requesting all kinds of insane cakes out of just this little tiny bakery in Minneapolis that just thought that story was funny. So you just never know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they just started baking right before the pandemic as a way to help make ends meet and out of their home. And here they go, just kind of like you, you know?
Yeah.
You just started and there you go. So
yeah, I feel like COVID was a really bad time to start baking because people are trying to stay home and stuff like that.
Oh, I don't know. My husband works for General Mills, Betty Crocker, and he said their baking business has exploded during the pandemic.
Oh, really?
Because everybody's at home baking, cooking, doing all the things they didn't do for the last 10 years. So it's been
all
interesting.
All the things they wish they had time for.
Exactly. Going back to the basics. So with the funds that you're raising, do you mind sharing with us how many dollars that you've raised for Another Helping?
Yeah. So in all, I've raised $1,550.
Emma, how long have you been doing this?
A little less than 2 months.
In 2 months, you have raised over $1,500.
Yes.
That is incredible. And okay, so how are the funds designated back to helping other families who have mitochondrial disease?
So when you go to my website to make an order or donation, you can, so I split the year into four quarters, and every quarter is a different Meadow Action program that they have. And so you can go to my website and it'll say like, this month's program is Matthew Hardy Camper Fund. Would you like your donation to go towards that fund or a different one? And so they get to choose which one it goes to. And if they don't really care, they just want to help, then they can just have it at the one that I'm doing at the time.
Wow. And I work with Meadow Action, obviously, and I know how desperately like the Matthew Hardy Camper Fund is needed and used, and Marcel's Way, and the way that those funds just impact families and make things so much more enjoyable and easier. Yeah. And you've seen your dad and how the disease has impacted his life and your family's life. Mm-hmm. I think it's amazing that you've looked outside your own four walls and said, I need to be able to help other people. Did you come up with the name Another Helping by yourself, or was that something you and your family sat around and kind of had like a brainstorming session, or how did that name come to be?
It wasn't me, I'll say that. So my mom and my dad were just like, all right, so you want to do this, now you need to come up with a name. And I was like, okay, I have no idea what that should be. And then my dad, he couldn't fall asleep one night, and in the middle of the night, he was like, oh, I know, Another Helping. And he wrote it down in his phone. And then that morning, he was like, how about Another Helping? Because people can have another helping of your cupcakes, and you're helping people.
Exactly. I love it. I think it's perfect because your cupcakes are helping people get a great treat, and you're helping provide a service, and the funds are going to help people access resources that might not have been available to them. So there's absolutely wins everywhere with this. So have you thought about branching out beyond baking, or is that your forte? Have you ever thought about cooking or making or working like with other kids in your community? Have you entered any state fair contests? I don't know. I'm just asking.
Yeah. So I have personally always loved the baking part of it and helping people, but I have been thinking about doing other things, like working with other people who raise money in a different way, to partner with them and be like, okay, so we'll do washing cars, and every car that's washed this much money goes to Another Helping or something like that.
You're a thinker. I like that. So what do you do in your free time? You're 11 years old. There's got to be other things that you like to do.
Yeah, so I love to swim, and my aunt, she actually has a pool in her backyard, so we go over there and swim sometimes. I like to jump on my trampoline. I make sure to get my schoolwork done. My dad, he was a teacher before he got diagnosed, and so he's always making sure that I do my assignments for school and get my stuff done and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. So you have someone who's helping you prioritize. I can hear that loud and clear.
Yes.
What about, do your friends, are they supportive of you in Another Helping? Do they ever want to join you and be a business partner, or are they just silently your cheerleaders in the background?
Yeah, well, so I started this in the pandemic, so I haven't really gotten a chance to like hang out with them in person, but I have been on a Zoom call a couple times with some of them, and I joke around like, you're going to sit there and watch me and I have to do all the work myself, but they're just like, if I were there, I would help you.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm sure they would. Definitely. I'm sure they're thinking, how come we didn't come up with something awesome like this? It's truly amazing, Emma, that you're so young and that you've been able to develop a complete nonprofit that is just a win everywhere for people, and a true example to show that there are ways you can help that make a big impact with just following through with a passion. And there's this philosophy of called like being in your sweet spot, which I think is kind of ironic because you're a baker. And when you're in your sweet spot, it's like the bullseye of a target. It's like, it's just where you're just as happy as can be. You're doing the things that really fulfill you, and you're being a positive influence on your family and your community. And I think at 11, to hit your sweet spot, you can only go up from here. I mean, just
when you think like moving forward in 5 years, you'll be in high school and contemplating college. And have you thought about things like what you want to do when you get older, like study in school or sports that you want to play or anything like that?
Yeah, so I do want to probably join, like, before the pandemic, I played softball. So there are other things that I would like to do, but I think that I will always want to be able to help people, whether it's still having another helping and baking or just helping in another way that I can. And I think that no matter what I do, I'll always try to help people in my future, not just, okay, so I was 11 and I helped people. Okay, oh, well, I'll do something else now. I think that it's important since I've started it not to just quit and to keep on trying to do other things to help people.
I love that. Do you see yourself branching out into different flavors, or are you going to just stay with the classic cannot fail red velvet cream cheese frosting, of which now I really want one?
Yeah, so I just started with one flavor over the end of school, towards the end of school year. I want to maybe create a gluten-free flavor or have another gluten-free flavor or something like that.
Well, I'm going to say right now, I'd like to challenge you on that just to see what you could come up with. I like the idea of a gluten-free option for people, because that is something that so many people need. And 10 years ago, there weren't the products out there to be able to do that. And now I think with the way food science has gone, you really have the opportunity to make something delicious right out of the park.
Yeah.
Good for you. So you're gluten-free. Does that mean you don't get to eat your own cupcakes?
No, when I have extras, I'll give them to like my dad or a family member or something like that.
Oh, shucks.
But I do always try the frosting, because it's just the cupcake itself that I can't eat. Yeah. So I always try the frosting.
Well, that, let's be honest, the frosting is almost always the best part, right? I mean, who doesn't love a good frosted cupcake? What is your favorite food, like dinner-wise? Like if your mom was making dinner and said, Emma, what do you want? What is it that you request?
I'm kind of picky, but kind of not. So I'll eat like pretty much anything unless it has like a boatload of vegetables. Like I'll eat pizza. I'll have, one of my favorites is Italian food. So the other night my mom made chicken Alfredo for dinner, and I had like, if she would have let me, I would have had the whole thing. I have started to notice that in myself. Every time that I bake a cupcake, I afterwards smell like one. And so if I don't shower, I'm just like, I don't want to eat a cupcake. Just like, no thanks.
So are there rules at your house when the bakery can be open? Like, are you allowed to only bake from certain times, or is your family just Emma's doing her thing, leave her alone?
Well, normally I just have to be done before dinner, before my mom has to make dinner, which is like 5 o'clock, she'll start making dinner. Normally when I was doing school, I would get out at like 2. So I would have like from 3 to 4:45 to bake. So then I could finish cleaning up and have everything ready for my mom to make dinner. But other than that, if I'm baking, people are just like, all right, leave her alone.
Leave her alone. I have always had dogs, and I have had a golden doodle named Henry, who was the love of my favorite dog and my least favorite dog. But his favorite thing to do was to eat baked goods, like all the time. And one time I made almond poppy seed muffins, and I had them on the counter cooling. And I don't know why I didn't think of it, but he was able to counter surf and get them off, and he ate them all, papers included, the wrappers included. And when I came home, he was trying to act real innocent with me, like he had done nothing wrong, although his face was full of muffin crumbs. I mean, it was like shrapnel from whisker to whisker. And as I was saying to him, hey, you know, what do you think happened to all these muffins? And he was looking at me and just licking his lips and acting like nothing happened. Has that ever happened with you? Has somebody come in and snuck a cupcake or two and like kind of messed up your process a little bit? Or do you have pets that would like to come in and eat all of your cupcakes? Or Any mishaps like
that? So I have two dogs. One of my dogs is, they're both labs, so they're crazy. I made pancakes one time and I had them on a paper plate, set them off on the counter, came back here. She's a puppy. She doesn't know any better. I come back and half the plate is gone. She ate half a plate of pancakes. And then our other dog is an English lab, and so she's bulkier and stuff. She's only one, so she's still a puppy. And we're actually training her to be a service dog for my dad. When I was first trying to get the recipe right and stuff like that, I had set one out on the counter and I was having my dad do a taste test, and she jumps up onto the counter and starts eating the cupcake. And I'm just like, are you serious right now? That's like the only one I have left.
And did she approve of the taste test? Did she wag her tail and walk away?
Mm-hmm. She's done that a few times, actually. Like, yeah, so now every time I bake, I make sure to have the dogs outside.
Oh, that's excellent. Very good thing. See, yes. At 11, you're already smarter than I was. I didn't even think about it. And when Henry demolished all of them, I thought, how come I never, ever remember the terror you can bring into the kitchen?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're at the point in our podcast where I like to do a fun thing called rapid fire. And I just ask you some fun, silly questions so that everybody can kind of get to know you, from Emma the baker to just Emma. And so like the first question is what's your favorite either television show or book that you've read recently?
All the like Disney princess movies. Those are all really good. I like the Harry Potter series.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you read all of them?
I have read like two, I think, but there's one that my teacher was actually reading with us in school, and it was about this boy who, back in the time when you were only allowed, it's fiction obviously, but you were only allowed to have two kids at the most, and he was a third child, so he had to hide everywhere, and that was really good and cool to see how he lived. A book that my teacher, she only read us the first one because it was for a little bit older kids than us, but it's called Life as We Knew It. Uh-huh. And it's like when the moon shifts a little more towards the earth, and so a lot of the places get washed up by the ocean or something like that, and then trying to figure out how to survive and stuff like that. So I like survival books and stuff.
I like that. I'm writing that one down. My next question is, what is your least favorite chore to do at the house? Like the one where if your parents say, Emma, go do this, you just hang your head and think, why me, Lord?
I hate having to take care of my dogs. Like, I just hate it. I hate cleaning, like laundry. I hate doing laundry.
Me too. Yeah, it's never ending, right? If you had to show me a picture of a day that you were just having the best day, what would that picture look like?
Probably, so a few years ago before COVID, I think it was December of 2019, we went to Disneyland, and it was super cold, but it was super fun because they had like Christmas shows going on and stuff like that, and that was super fun.
Oh, wow. I didn't know they did that at Disneyland. Interesting.
Yeah.
So it was like all decorated for Christmas at Disneyland?
Mm-hmm. Like even like Mickey had a Santa hat on. It was really cool.
Oh, fun. Well, Emma, this has been so much fun. I'm good friends with your dad through Mito Action, and him and I have done podcasts before, and I have heard about you throughout our conversations. And I'm actually at a loss of words at how much admiration I have for you and your family on how you've taken a diagnosis that's relatively new to your family and just jumped in and said, well, I guess there's a way to help. And I think that's so important for people to know that even though things can some days look pretty bleak and kind of mopey, there is always a way to help. And that makes everybody feel better. It makes the helper and the person getting the help better. Yeah. I love that about you. So again, I'm going to have all of the information on how people can come and order cupcakes from you, but it's mitoaction.com/anotherhelping. And there they can go ahead and select their cupcakes, right? And then either select if you're going to donate them somewhere or if they're going to come and pick them up, or they can just make a donation, right? And then you can use those funds so thankful that you're doing that and helping other families. I truly believe you do not fully grasp the impact that you're making for people. $1,500 is an amazing amount of money. And I cannot wait to see where you go from here. So I'm excited to have you partner with us here at Mito Action because it just makes us stronger and better together.
Yes, me too.
All right. Well, if when things are going along stronger, would you be willing to come back on the podcast and give us an update on how you're doing and how much money you've raised and what your next adventure is going to be?
Yes, I would love to.
Oh, excellent. Well, thank you, Emma, for being on our Energy in Action podcast today. And everybody go out to our website at mitoaction.com/anotherhelping and check out what Emma's up to and order some cupcakes from her. And man, I can't wait to get mine. Thanks, Emma.
Yes, you're welcome.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode of Energy in Action. I am beyond impressed with Emma, and I enjoyed sharing her story and passion with all of you. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Remember to give us a 5-star rating on your listening app to help boost us up the charts. And please check out Mito Action's website to find out more information about Another Helping. We even have the t-shirts that Emma designed herself. This is your host, Stephanie.